Welcome to Wealthion. I'm Wealthion founder Adam Taggart. I just finished recording a longer interview with personal finance expert Rob Berger, which will go live on this channel next week. But I wanted to rush this segment out to you beforehand, where Rob addresses two questions many of you have been asking since the recent banking failures broke out. How can I find out how safe my bank is, and what would happen to my funds if a major brokerage like Schwab, Fidelity, or Vanguard went under? I think you'll find Rob's answers useful and to a certain degree, relieving. In one of your recent videos, you addressed a question that's been asked a lot on this channel. Two questions that have been asked a lot on this channel following the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. And then, of course, we had all the dust that was in the air around that. For a while, people were afraid that Schwab might be looking vulnerable, and Schwab's stock price took a big hit. Just to be super clear, I want to make clear for folks, Schwab is in an entirely different league than those individual banks that failed. But two big questions came up. The first one was, how can I tell how safe my bank is, right? Are there metrics? Is there data I can look at to tell me how safe my bank is? Let's start with that one first. What advice do you have to people who are wondering that about wherever their money's parked right now?
Well, I mean, there are websites that you can go to. Weiss, I think, is one of them that will give you their view of, I think I've got the name right, but I can send you the link to it, that gives you an assessment based on the bank's financials as to how safe it is. It's not foolproof. Like if you go back and look at how they rated SVB, for example, my recollection, I could have this wrong, was that they gave it a B+ shortly before it went under. Now, in fairness, though, to any sort of rating company, SVB probably shouldn't have gone under. It went under because a handful of venture capitalists got scared, and they controlled a lot of the bank's deposits because they had a portfolio of startups with, millions of dollars at the bank, most of it uninsured, and they could call up their portfolio. It wasn't just one client with $100,000. It was 20 companies with a couple hundred million or whatever the number was. And they could, a handful of people could call up a lot of their portfolio companies and say, pull your money out all at one time. And that's effectively what happened. And that's what brought the bank down. So in that sense, it can be a little unnerving to a consumer because it's like, well, wait a minute. If you're telling me they were rated pretty well, they had issues for sure. And they did have some losses on their bond portfolio. But they were by no means insolvent. But they went down anyway. And I think my answer is a practical matter is stay under the FDIC insured limits. And there are ways to get more than $250,000 in FDIC insurance, even at the same bank. So if you do that, of course we're talking about FDIC insured banks, your money is as secure as it can be in the world as we know it. I'll say nothing's probably foolproof, but that's about as secure as you're going to get. You could go to one of the rating agencies, and I can send you the a couple of links. And I actually did a video on this, but I don't know how much comfort it's going to give someone. I mean, they're going to look at the numbers because they're going to look at capital ratios and other things like that. The sites give a bank a rating, like usually a letter grade, and that may be of some help to your viewers, but. Like I said, SVB had a pretty good rating.
Yeah. Okay. Well, first off, please send those links over, and folks, we'll put those links in the description to this video below, so you can go there and check them out. But what I hear you saying, Rob, is there are these rating agencies. Go check them out. See where your bank is rated. Obviously, probably a red flag if your bank is rated really low, right? Yeah. Basically. Keep yourself under the FDIC limits on your accounts. As you said, that's about as safe as the banking system can make it, right? No matter which bank goes under. But also just be aware that there are no guarantees in the world, right? There are some reasons that made SVB as vulnerable as it was, But to your point, they got brought down by a bank run. And the best positions of banks can be brought down by a bank run if it's big enough,
now,
right?
Now, I will say that a bank run was much more likely at SVB because of the nature of its deposits.
Exactly. You mentioned 20 big companies leaving.
Yeah, I mean,
people like you and I leave a regular bank, the bank's not going to blink.
Right,
but 20 companies with 100 million each in the bank, the bank's going to feel it. Yeah.
And if I can just show you this real quick, it is WeissRatings.com. That was the site I was referencing. And you can put in your bank or credit union and look at your rating.
Great. That's a great resource. Thank you for doing that. All right. So the next question that was asked often was, well, now I'm worried. And now I'm back a couple of weeks ago, people are beginning to whisper about Schwab. And by the way, folks, I'm not saying Schwab is vulnerable at all here to going out of business. But the question of, well, what would happen if a major brokerage like a Schwab or a Fidelity went under? How safe would my assets be? Would I get them all back? You did a great video on that.
Yeah. So with Schwab, and this is true with Fidelity, but you have to remember that Schwab is a broker, but it's also a bank. They have an FDIC insured bank as part of their business. And so a part of it depends where your money is. If your money is in Schwab, the bank, it's FDIC insured like any other bank. But I think what most folks were talking about was their investments in the brokerage.
Exactly.
So, yeah. And so fundamentally, it's different. When you make a deposit to a bank, like in a, say in a checking account, they commingle your money with all their other customers, and it shows up on the bank's balance sheet. It's their money. Now, they have a liability to you. They have a contractual obligation to give you your money back when you make a withdrawal. And so it shows up as an asset on their balance sheet and a liability on their balance sheet. And of course, they take your money and they invest it, right? They make mortgage loans and car loans and business loans, and maybe they buy 30-year treasuries, apparently. But they invest it. So in a traditional, I'll call it traditional bank issue, think subprime issues going back 15 years, or if any of the real estate, like in the 80s with real estate, banks ended up making bad investments. They lost a lot of money and they went under, right? With SVB, again, it was more of a bank run. Now, they did make some bad investments, but not to the point where the issue was, loan valuations. But that's a bank. With a brokerage, they don't put your money or your assets on their balance sheet. They are obligated, they're regulated differently. Those are segregated, separate from the broker's assets. They can't take your shares of Apple and go do whatever they want with them. They've got to keep them separate for you. And so when a broker goes under, assuming there's no fraud, like, if you think FTX, for example, well, of course, that wasn't in the United States, it was in the Bahamas, but the allegation is he was basically, I'll say stealing the money, I don't know, borrowing it, I'm not sure. I guess it depends on what you're talking about to the prosecutors or the defense. But there was fraud going on, or think of Bernie Madoff, right? There was actual fraud.
Fraud, yeah. False statements, right. Everything. Yeah.
They're stealing money. Let's assume we're talking about a Fidelity, a Schwab, Vanguard. That's not the issue. They just make some bad business decisions and they go under. Well, nothing should happen to your assets. They'll get transferred to another broker. That's effectively what happened with Lehman, right? They went under, but I don't believe SIPC paid out a penny, is what my understanding. Of course, it's been 15 years, so I might have that slightly wrong. But because the Lehman Brothers hadn't taken people's brokerage accounts and committed fraud and stolen the money. That's not what or the assets. That's not what happened. And so your assets should be fine, and you would end up getting moved to a different broker, likely, or there could be a buyer of the broker. It depends on how the government deals with that liquidation. But short of fraud, your assets, should not be commingled with the broker's asset. They should be separate, and they should be just fine.
All right. So let me ask you this then. So sort of as an analogy, what I hear you saying is your account with the brokerage is like a filing cabinet that has all of your securities in the filing cabinet. And if that broker were to go under, those assets would transfer to another brokerage, a healthier brokerage that's taking over their business. and your file cabinet would just transfer there. So everything you had with broker number one is now over there with broker number two, correct?
Yeah, I think of it like a safe deposit box. That's very different than money you deposit in a checking account, right? The bank can't break into your safe deposit box and go invest your money that you keep in that safety deposit box. That's how a broker is supposed to work too, right? Again, okay, short of fraud. Short great. Of fraud.
So that safe deposit box transfers from broker one to broker two. You just have your key, open it up. Everything presumably is still in there. Is there a difference between the securities in your account and the cash in your account? Are they treated any differently? Or are they all in that same safety deposit box?
They could be treated differently. It depends where your cash is, because now you can have your cash swept into an FDIC insured account that's part of the broker's bank, right? Or you could have it swept into a money market fund, right? Mm-hmm. In that sense, it shouldn't be any different than any other fund. There could be some cash accounts that some of these brokers have. So cash could be treated differently. You absolutely want to understand what kind of account your cash is in, because that could affect, you know, the protections on that money.
Okay, so if you're holding a sizable cash balance and you're unclear, definitely contact your broker then and just get the facts.
Yeah, or just open your account and see what kind of account it's in. But yeah, you definitely want to look to see where it's being held.
Okay. So you mentioned SIPC earlier, or sometimes what people call SPIC, and maybe people in the industry call it SIPC, which is the brokerage version of the FDIC insurance.
Yeah.
When does that come into play? Because, you know, what you've just said is if the safety deposit box transfers, then why have insurance? It's just in the safety deposit box.
Well, you have insurance because that's not the only, again, there could be fraud, for example. So like if you go to their website now, I think the only open case they have right now, only open claim, is actually related to Bernie Madoff.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Which shows that these claims are very rare.
Well, they are, but that's the only open one, at least the last time I checked.
Okay.
So there can be circumstances where, and I think MF Global, I think there was a claim, but that must have been resolved by now. You see, you got me. I won't start searching, but I'm sure they had claims. But the only open claim, I believe, at least the last time I checked, was from Bernie Madoff. You could have a situation where there's just outright fraud.
Okay. And what is SIPC, what does it protect up to?
Their website?
I'm just trying to remember what it protects up to. I know FDIC is...
I think it's up to 500, but only 250 in cash. At least that's my recollection.
Okay. So...
But some brokers will be self-insured beyond that. Yeah,
that's SIPC where protects I was going.
SIPC protects up to $500,000, $250,000 in cash.
And that's per $500,000,
of which only $250,000 in cash. But if you look at like a Schwab or Fidelity, they're going to have much more than that.
Okay, so two questions. One, the SIPC account protection you just mentioned, is that per account or per account holder?
That's a good question that I don't know.
Okay. Well, I'll look into that. And folks, if I get the answer, I'll put it in the description below. And then secondly, the private insurance that firms like Schwab and Fidelity take on, it's very substantial, right? I mean, my sense is it can be in the like hundreds of million. Like, in other words, it generally protects 99.999% of people who are going to be having an account on there. It's going to cover that amount beyond what SIPC would.
Yes. But you want to look at, depending on who your broker is, you want to go look at what they're offering and exactly how it works. Again, as a practical matter, like for the Fidelity, a Schwab, a Vanguard, I mean, unless you're concerned with fraud, which, this kind of insurance is, it's hard to imagine what would trigger it to kick in. But yes, they do offer substantially more than the SIPC limits for coverage.
Okay. And the brokerage world has really consolidated. I mean, the vast majority of business is done by those three brands that you just mentioned. So do you see any material difference in terms of safety or security amongst those three brands? Are they all sort of in the, like, you know, we lump some of those big banks in the too big to fail range? Like these are it would take something fairly nuclear to bring one of these three guys down.
Yes, it would take something hard to imagine. Although the only thing I'll add is, things hard to imagine happen all the time.
Yep.
So right. So it depends on how the size of your assets, your capital. But I think it makes a lot of sense to not have everything at one broker. And for a lot of reasons, it's not just, I'm concerned that a broker is going to commit fraud. But there could be a lot, hacking, sites being down. I just feel more comfortable having my capital spread out over more than one broker.
All right. That is very good advice. I hope you enjoyed this advanced clip from my upcoming interview with Rob Berger. If you did, please support this channel by hitting the like button and then clicking on the red subscribe button below, as well as that little bell icon right next to it. The full interview with Rob will be released early next week. I'll see you then. Thanks for watching.